to Imogene, and it says, this is God.
God speaking.
Today, I will be handling all of your problems for you. Mm-hmm. I do not need your help, so have a nice day. And then P.S., remember, if life happens to deliver a situation to you that you cannot handle, do not attempt to resolve it for yourself. Kindly put it in the SFGTD, which is something for God to do box. I will get to it in my time. All situations will be resolved, but in my time and not yours.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Well, praise the Lord. Father, you said that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, I will heal their land. The answers are all there, Lord. We don't have to grope around for the answers. The answers generally always on the way, even before we ask. It's just us staying tuned to the right frequency, Lord.
Yes.
It's us tuning in the right station, the right heavenly station, and listening for that heavenly Holy Ghost to speak to us, to show us the way, and to give us the answers. Not only for us, Lord, but for the rest of your creation.
Yes.
You impart those things, that life to us, Lord, that we can impart it to others. Just like you did to your first son, Jesus. He came that we might have his life.
Yes.
And that's the same thing, Lord, that you're saying to your people today. I have sent you that they might have the same life that you have in
yes.
you.
Yes, Father.
That we're to go and pray and share and say that God is good.
Yes, yes,
that God loves you.
Yes,
and he came to redeem you, spirit, soul, and body.
Yes,
so we thank you, Lord, knowing that even now, your presence is felt strong in this room, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
We know that you're here, and Father, we just turn this discussion session, this teaching session, over to you, Father.
Yes. Yes.
Over to the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
And we say, Holy Ghost, have your way here this morning.
In the name of Jesus.
Only you can bring life to us, Lord. So we look to you this morning for this life, Father. It's the only reason why we're gathered here this morning. It wasn't to drink coffee, Lord.
Yes.
It's to see your face.
Yes, Lord.
It's to get to know you in a deeper way, even as Moses said, show us your glory, Lord.
Yes.
He wasn't talking about your great power. He had already seen your great power. He had seen you part the Red Sea and all the miracles that you did in Egypt. So when he said, show me your glory, he wasn't saying, show me your power. He was saying, Lord, I want to know you. I've seen your power, but I want to know you.
Yes,
Father.
And that's what we're gathered here this morning for. We want to know you. Appear to us this morning, Lord, that we might see you and become more like you, that the world might see you.
Yes, Lord.
In your name and for your glory, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
You.
Praise God. Praise
Can
God.
I share something?
Absolutely.
It was great for me. But the Lord showed me that two thieves of our joy are the words how. When we spend our day asking God, how are you going to accomplish this? When are you going to accomplish this? And spend our day projecting how and when. We can't understand how you're going to do it. When are you going to do it? The things that we put before the Lord, put them before the Lord and live in today.
Yes.
Yes.
And enjoy today.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about how or when, or even if in my lifetime. God will accomplish what he has set out to accomplish, mm-hmm. how, when, and if he chooses. It's not for us to know the answers to this. We waste hours and hours of precious time we can be peaceful and loving and joyful by thinking about those things. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's good.
Very good.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. That was good. Yes.
Amen. Yeah, you know, Kathy, there's a verse of scripture that, of course, we've all seen and read a thousand times, but the Lord's really been branding it or burning it into my heart. And it's one of the disciples. They were talking to Jesus, and Jesus was doing all the miraculous, and he was healing people and resolving their issues that they had, you know, mental, whatever. And they said, what must we do to work these same works, Lord? What do we have to do to bring healing to situations, to people's minds, to people's bodies, to people's spirit? What must we do? And the Lord said, Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him who he has sent. And I'm telling you, I think that there's so much power in that one scripture that if we would just believe into him, look to him in every circumstance, in every situation, and this is kind of goes along with what you're saying, Kathy.
Exactly.
He is the answer.
Yes.
He is the solution. Mm-hmm. And it's already Isaiah 53. It's already been bought and paid for. Mm-hmm. His disease, our diseases, our infirmities, our mental issues, it was all laid on him. So he is the answer. Mm-hmm. And he finished all that for us. Mm-hmm. He said, I saw a verse here yesterday when I was in this study here, where he said, my Father sent me to finish the work.
Mm-hmm.
And when he died on Calvary, he said, it is finished.
Yes.
And what was he saying is finished? It was the work that the Father had sent him to do. He had finished that work.
Yes.
He had bought and paid for everything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so all we really need to do, as a matter of fact, I heard a testimony this morning from a woman that was an alcoholic. She was an alcoholic when she was 16 years old, and she fought so much with her mother that her mother kicked her out. She left anyway. They couldn't stand each other. She went and moved in with a girlfriend, and she got a job. Of course, she went from job to job because she kept drinking. And then one day when she was kind of rock bottom, she went into a church, and she said, when I walked in, they had this banner, and it said, God is love.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, when I saw that, it kept, you know, wouldn't leave me alone. God is love, God is love. She kept meditating on God is love. Of course, we know that was Holy Ghost, you know, that was drawing her. And, of course, she was humble at this stage of the game because she had lost everything. She was a hopeless alcoholic. But it was just through meditating on God is love that all of a sudden she realized that her taste for alcohol and all that had left her. So, you know, he sent his word and healed them. And we don't really know. I mean, like if you've got cancer. See, I just recently went to the doctor. And the doctor said, well, I want to check some issue right here in your throat. You got a little whatever it is. And I said, okay. So, you know, when I came out of the doctor's office, I said to the Lord, I said, well, Lord, you know, what happens if I got cancer or something like that? And you want me to really, you know, duke it out with cancer? Because everyone says, she fought cancer and won. And the Lord said, no, I don't want you to fight.
Mm-hmm.
What do you fight? You're swinging the shadows.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Those things have already been taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
There's no need to fight. The battle is mine.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's been done on Calvary 2,000 years ago. You can go out there and fight and swing and do, you know. And I would. I'd use doctors' healing methods or whatever. I'm not saying that.
Mm-hmm.
But it was almost like the Lord really said, what do you want to fight for?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the battle is over. The battle's been won. Now, I realize, I guess, that that's a place that, you know, a new Christian isn't probably going to be making statements like that. You know, like the song Brother Oscar, or I think it was a song where the word says, little faith believes God can, greater faith believes God will,
mm-hmm.
and perfect faith believes it's already done.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So you got people in all different dimensions, but
yes.
I don't know. The Lord's, you know, what must we do, Kathy, to work the works of God? Jesus says, simply believe on the one whom he has sent.
Yes.
Me. Look to me, believe on me, and the word will come to you.
Mm-hmm.
the word will come to you. And in this lady's case, who was a hopeless alcoholic, God is love. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, a demon left her. Mm-hmm. God is love. Mm-hmm. Now, if we prayed for her in church, if she came forward in church and said, I'm an alcoholic, I need help, well, you know, we might dig out a half a dozen different scriptures dealing with habits and so on and so forth. But if we just wait and hear the living word of God from heaven,
yes,
and give that living word, boom, they're healed.
Yes.
And I'll tell you, God's getting ready to do something in the realm of healing. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you that this place, you know, God is going to rise with healing for wings.
Yes.
In his wings. Okay.
Yes, in his wings.
It's
yes.
coming. And I want us yes. to start, I want us to start yes. thinking, I realize I'm preaching right now, but I really want to plant a lot of seeds in the area of healing, because
yes.
God wants to start healing this body.
Yes.
You know, cancers, yes. whatever. He wants to start displaying his power. All he wants us to do is expect it. Okay? He appears unto all those who are looking for him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm starting to look for God in that area of healing, because I really believe it's time. And I'm not saying to God it's time. I feel like God is saying to me, it's time. I'm laying the groundwork right now. I want you to start planting seeds in that realm, because I'm going to come and there's going to be great healings at Wings. So
yes.
start expecting
yes.
and start believing it, and
yes.
just keep looking to him, regardless of what you're feeling yes. in your body. You know, I got the old arthritis
yes.
and this stuff, but you know, I'm just looking to him. It's his problem.
Mm-hmm.
He bought and paid for
yes.
it.
Yes.
So
yes.
I just think that there's some great things
yes.
coming. You going to say something? No. Oh, okay.
I would believe that God, you have to know what God is speaking directly
mm-hmm.
to you. Because
yes.
I had a sister that fell. We were going to Michigan, bedding up to a conference up there. And she had a skull fracture and bleeding out of her ears and everything.
Mm, wow.
And we went and had prayer with the pastor and the church was going to the time. Because my parents, they didn't want me to go, to stay here, because of I was only what you say, be there with her. But we thought to go on, and we went on to the meeting, and when they called and told us that now she has blood clots in her brain and all, and God said, I'm going to give her life, that I might give her light.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the word he gave. So no matter how bad she got, when we came back home, they had to do the surgery, when the surgeon came and talked to us, I said, she's going to be all right. I assured the family and everything. Because
yeah.
when we were praying together, Betty and us and the pastor's house we were staying,
right.
gave that word. And what word he gives to you as an individual is what you could stand on.
Amen.
And
yes.
there's a hope, you know, in that. And sometimes you don't have a person to go for treatment, because in that place, sometimes they're actually ministering to those around. I found that at a church where we were going to. And the person who was going there for dialysis was ministering to all those around
God.
Them.
Praise
and
God.
So it's, you know, you have to really, I know God's healing, but I know, I really believe he gives us
absolutely.
A word.
Absolutely.
So like to you, what he said.
He
to
sent
you.
His word and healed
that's
them.
Right. Yes,
and
yes.
And God bless the book.
Yes,
but
yes.
he's talking about the living, he's talking about the Rhema word. It's by his word
yes.
that you are healed.
And God raised my sister up, my little sister
yeah.
and everything.
Yes. Well, when Marge was diagnosed with cancer,
mm-hmm.
She got a word out here in the sanctuary that, you know, though you walk through the furnace, the flames
oh,
will
yes.
blah, blah, blah. And we left here that day after that service. We went home. There was a card on the door from one of her girlfriends that's a Catholic girl.
Mm-hmm.
And when she opened up the card, it said, the flame shall not kindle against you, though you walk.
Oh, God.
So, you know, and Marge just stood on that through the whole ordeal, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And now she's got a clean testimony.
What you were saying about the dialysis thing, that was Jim Pike did that too.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Pike, you know, mm-hmm. his kidneys had completely shut down, and he would say when he would go down and have that dialysis that he would sit in there not for himself, but for the other people. And then God restored his kidney function. I mean, that just don't usually happen. When your kidney shut down,
but
they just don't come back usually. You know? I mean, and he was on dialysis for
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
Well, it's testimonies like that, too, that will bring healing. The more we talk about the testimonies of God's power in healing people, mm-hmm. different people getting up and testifying, I had cancer, whatever. And I'll tell you, there's tremendous power in the testimony. It's another thing that the Lord's been talking to me about this week. David was always talking about his testimonies. You know, it was like when he confronted Goliath, I know he had to be thinking to himself, let's see, I killed a bear with my bare hands and a lion, and here's Goliath, you know. But those testimonies, yeah, were in his mind of the power what God had done previously. And I always noticed that whenever I shared my salvation experience with somebody, tears would start coming down their face, and they'd get saved. It was because of that testimony of what God had done for me.
Yes.
And it's like every time you share a testimony, it's that same presence and that same saving power is present at that moment when you're sharing that testimony.
Yes.
So the more testimonies we have on healing, that same presence is going to come into that sanctuary or into your living room, mm-hmm. and that same healing power is going to come with it. So there's just a lot of things I believe that God is going to start doing for
us. When you share his faithfulness through it all, I was thinking that song, Through It All.
Right.
Look at all the things you went through and found him to be faithful. Mm-hmm. It gives people hope.
Yes.
It's something they can grasp.
Sparks their faith.
Yes.
It sparks their faith.
We're uniting.
Yeah. There it is again.
Yes.
There it is again.
Yes. Yes.
I was just going to say, we had Ken working on our electric out there to put electric to our sign, and he was working on our sump pump and everything. And it was funny because I came down here two or three times while he was working on it. Various times, mm-hmm. and he said, every time you came, I was just getting ready to call you. He said, because he was having a problem with this or with that or something, and he said, every time you came, he said, I was just getting ready to call you. He told that every time I showed up, he said, I was just getting ready to call you on the phone to tell you what was going on. And I said, well, I said, you know what? I said, we should expect God.
Mm-hmm.
I said,
yes.
He does do that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I said, because he knows what's going on.
Sure.
Whether we know or not. A lot of times that's like situations and circumstances that we get into. You know, it's like when I shared it in my sermon last week about, you know, literally about sharing some things in that Sunday school class. Uh-huh. And then I shared some things that were a little bit on the deeper side, you know. Uh-huh. And I was actually a little bit shocked myself, but that minister got up and share everything that I share.
And
my sister-in-law said to me, she says, after it was over, she says, you said all this stuff in Sunday school. I said, well, you know, I said, that happens at our church a lot. Mm-hmm. I said, because, you know, mm-hmm. we're looking to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah,
It's orchestrated by the Holy Spirit.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, the healing and the things like that, those things are going to happen as God.
Right.
As we yield to God. And I was just going to tell you, one of the words that, the definition for one of the words that believe on, mm-hmm. one of the words that's used for the word on is you pronounce it I-C-E. And it's a primary preposition. It means to or into, indicating a point reached or entered of place or time. Mm. When we believe into him, we're entering into a place and a time that is eternal.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And that whatever God's will is done is going to be done, you know.
Right.
And it's going, no one can stop it.
Right.
But I like that. And then, and another word that a lot of times is translated as in or on or different things like that is the word en. Mm-hmm. And it literally means a fixed position in place, time, or state of being.
Mm.
Mm. Boy, when he gets us into that place, when you're in a fixed position, you can't move out of that position.
Right.
You know
what?
Right.
Yeah.
And
yes.
Boy, God get us there, because when he gets us there, his word is going to be instantaneous, and it's going to always be his word and not ours. Our words.
You know, can you give that again? It's a fixed position of what?
It's a fixed position of state, time, or being.
What is the word?
It's the word in, E-N. In. If you look up the word in Scripture, I-N, it's usually the word E-N.
E-N.
Mm.
Isn't that something?
You know.
Mm.
And also, sometimes it's translated as on, and it's translated as some other things, but it's the word E-N, you know.
Well, back to Psalm 66. But I love it. I really love it when the, you know, spirit moves like this.
Yes.
You know, talking about testimonies and all that again, too, David, what's he talking about in Psalm 66, verse 6? He turned the sea into dry land, and they went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in him. I was thinking about that particular verse. There they went through on foot. It was like the Lord was saying, this has to be walked out, son.
Oh, my goodness.
I'll part the Red Sea. I'll part the Red Sea, okay? I just want you to walk through it and see how I've done it and what I'm doing.
Yes.
And there you'll rejoice.
Yes.
And you'll have a testimony about what I did in your life.
Yes.
Okay, well, let's see. Debbie, can you read, say, 4 through... 9, 4 through 9.
All the earth shall worship thee and sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name, Selah. Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in his doing toward the children of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in him. He ruleth by his power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not rebellious exalt thee. Rebellious exalt themselves, Selah. Oh, bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved.
Wow. Luke, that's a powerful verse at verse 9.
Yeah.
He holds our soul in life. Wow. Wow. I got the definition of all those words, but I don't know where. But that is a powerful verse. And as they talk, they use that word terrible a few times here in Psalm 66. You know, up in verse 3 it says, say unto the Lord, how terrible art thou in works. And then he uses that word another time or two in the psalm. And when it talks about how terrible are the works of the Lord, what's he talking about? He's talking about he turned the sea into dry land. He holds our soul in life and suffers our feet not to be moved. Those are the terrible works of God that he's talking about, the awesome works of God. I was just listening to a preacher here this morning and on radio, and he was preaching on the Holy Spirit will convict us of sin and of righteousness. But the way he was ministering it, and the Holy Spirit's going to come and convict you of sin and righteousness and so on and so forth. Now, when I heard Lynn Hiles use that same verse, Lynn said, well, the Holy Spirit's going to convict you of sin and righteousness to show you that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
But the way the other spirit was ministering it, it was like, I'll never be righteous. I'm just a sinner. And and the Holy Spirit's going to show me how righteous God is and how unrighteous I am. And, you know, but it's just the spirit, the difference in the spirit of these brothers that are preaching a life message versus this message of law and condemnation, you know?
And that word terrible, I've shared this many times before,
sure,
how God gave me when I read it, and I said terrible, because maybe think a terrible thing, whoa, but he said, gave me miraculously amazing.
Mm. Yeah, that's good.
And that's what he gave me for that word. And every time you read the word terrible and put that in there, it is so true. So true.
Amen. Again, I get back to all these verses start out, or a lot of them, the first 9 verses start out with, make a joyful noise, sing unto the Lord,
yes.
Say unto the Lord,
yes.
Worship unto the Lord,
yes.
Come and see the Lord.
Yes.
Bless our God.
Yes.
I mean, they're all make, sing, say, worship.
Yes.
Sometimes I wonder if we're aggressive enough in our relationship with the Lord, or if the body itself worldwide is aggressive enough, especially the body in the United States, because it seems like most of our religious experience happens like 1 hour on Sunday morning, and then the rest of the week is devoted to earning a living, paying our bills, and so on and so forth. And I think David's life consisted of, I'm going to make a joyful noise. I'm going to sing unto the Lord. I'm going to say to the Lord. I'm going to worship the Lord. I'm going to come and see the magnificence of the Lord. And I'm going to bless our God. I mean, this guy had the formula to a relationship with God.
Yes.
You know, because God has already, I believe God has already done all he can do for us. Now I think it's just us walking in this thing and drawing nigh unto the Lord, okay, and being tuned into that heavenly radio, if you will. I just really been getting that so strong about this, the finished work. And I feel like we're moving into this new day where there's a lot of clarity that's coming forth. And that Isaiah 53, you know, where he talks about he's bore our sickness and diseases. And then one of the last verses there, he says, who's going to believe our report? Who's going to believe our report that this is what he's done? Is the church going to believe this? You know, when you go and you minister that God has taken all our infirmities, all our diseases, all our, you know, are you going to believe into this? Do you really? And that, of course, those are the things that just keep rolling through me. But, okay, who else here?
Betty's been sharing with us, and all the time we pray together, complete. She keeps saying how complete. Everything
yes.
is complete in him. Everything is
And we're in him.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she's
Amen.
Been sharing this with us.
Amen.
And when we pray together, this is what we hear this word of complete. And yes.
Sit at my right hand while I make your enemies your footstool. That hit me a couple of weeks ago. Jesus is seated at the right hand of God while the Father is making his enemies his footstool, and we are in Christ. We are seated at the right hand of God, and we are supposed to be seated. We're supposed to be resting in this finished work because God is making our enemies our footstools. We're learning through all these things that we're going through. We're just an observer. You know, we're sitting up in the football stand, and we're watching the game down on the field is kind of the way I feel about it sometimes, as you just continue to look to him in everything. You know, if you got sickness in your body, okay, you look to him. All right, you got a financial burden, you look to him. You know, like Jesus said to the disciples, don't take any thought about where you're going to live, what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, but seek ye first. If you know, just believe on the one whom the Father has sent. And to me, that brings Christianity down to something I can understand. It brings it down to its simplistic form instead of all the formulas and the methods and the, you know, you just tell a young brother or young sister when he finds the Lord, all you have to do henceforth is just seek the Lord.
Yes.
You know, you got the mind of Christ now. You got the mind of Christ, now use it. Look to the Lord. Read the scriptures, pray, and look to the Lord.
Yes.
Yes.
It is simple, but it is not easy.
Yeah, yes.
This is, it's a process.
Yes.
And I believe in my life, I can say, when God observed that it was the desire of my heart to go deeper and to come up higher, things around me in this natural life started falling apart. And God drew me up higher. It's not been easy, but it's simple. It's simple. It's simple to understand, but it's because you don't have to do it. You only have to agree. You have to allow God to do it in you.
Yeah.
And
I think it's conviction.
Yes.
Personally, I think it's just conviction of saying, hey, you're a persecutor. You've been persecuted because Christ already lives within us. So now we're supposed to live. And it's our carnal nature that says, I'm not good enough, or and then I fail.
That's true.
You know, I was listening to Charles Stanley. I don't mean to interrupt, but
good voice.
But it's like persecution. It's like you've accepted Christ, so you're not going to have an easy life, you know. But my, what is it? My yoke is easy, or you know, it's like, burden's oh my goodness, like now you just have to accept it and just move on and say, hey, I've got the comfort in that. Hey, it's already finished. I'm done. It's just now you just need to follow, and that's where our carnal nature says, did it again.
I think a lot of times if we would break it down on the simplest levels, and this is what I'm calling the simplest level, is basically we just ask the Lord, Lord, what would you have me do?
Thank you.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Lord, I'm going to trust you today.
Yes.
You know,
you're looking to the Lord.
And if you do those two things,
mm-hmm. each day,
then do what you feel like you're supposed to
right.
do that day,
right.
you'll be fine.
Right.
Mm-hmm. See? And the problem is that...
Irregardless of what happens,
yeah,
you'll be fine.
Yeah.
You'll be fine.
As you look,
right.
continue to look to him.
That's
yes.
right. And you might even find some situations where you thought it was going to go one way. You
oh.
thought
right.
it was going to go one way.
Right.
And it went another way.
Right. right.
Yeah.
But there's, again, where you have
trust.
To say, Lord, you know all things.
Just
yes.
trust.
And I'm going to trust you.
That's right.
And watch and see his hand move mightily
that's
in that
right.
situation. Or move
yes.
you mightily.
Right. Yes.
And that's exactly what's been happening. I've been driving to work lately, and it's funny. It's like, okay, Lord, you know what calls I'm going to get today? You know what people I'm going to get? You know?
Yeah.
And it either becomes a really good day or becomes a really, really bad day. And sometimes words are said, and I'm like, oh, no. You know, but it's that time in the car alone with him and listening to Christian music and
yeah.
filling
Praise
my spirit
him.
With him.
Yes.
But you're like... It's like, oh my goodness, you thought it was going to be a beautiful day because you had time with the Lord, and boom, it just crash and burn.
I'm going to bring my servant out there today. I'm going to tell you a little story. I won't talk to you now. Because
oh.
But I'm going to tell you a little story. And it's very basic, but yet it's the truth. And it's the difference between religion and knowing the Lord.
That's good. That's good.
It's very simple, very religion will always give you a bunch of do's and don'ts and a bunch of rules and regulations. And Scripture tells us he took the handwriting of ordinances that was against
the
us,
law.
He nailed them to the tree.
That's
yes.
right.
Yes.
That's right.
That
yes.
doesn't mean that we just go out and do anything
no.
we want to
yes.
do.
No.
But we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit.
As best we can.
As best we can.
Right.
Well, you can't follow the leading unless somebody leads you.
Yeah.
You know? And a lot of times, if the Lord's not telling you to do anything,
don't do it.
Don't do anything. Mm-hmm. Leave it alone. You know, just right. do what you have to normally do, and leave it alone. You know,
right.
that's one thing I've had to learn. It's like I used to think I had to have an opinion on everything, and I have found out that a lot of times you keep my mouth shut. Don't say nothing.
You don't mean
you know.
You
know,
do nothing.
I got some people mad at me one time. I didn't think I got mad at me one time. I went into a Sunday school class, and these people were talking about opinions. And they said, well, everybody's got an opinion.
Yeah.
And I gave them the definition of opinion.
Was it
the
Brother
definition Shaps? Of opinion is something that falls short of the truth.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, now, my has everybody goodness. Got an opinion?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Do we need to hear it?
Mm-hmm.
No, we don't.
Mm-hmm.
Do we need to follow it? No, we don't.
Mm-hmm.
We need to look to the Spirit of truth.
Mm-hmm.
And if we look to the Spirit of truth, he's the lead us and guide us into all truth. That's
what did Shep, what was his definition of opinions?
I don't know what this was.
He said the definition of men's opinions is, the Lord spoke to him and said, they are the roots of confusion.
Well, there you go.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Lord have mercy.
And
yes.
I'm talking about a dictionary. I'm giving you a dictionary.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a definition if you look it up in his dictionary. I looked
yeah.
it up in... I think of Buck and Wagnalls or one of them dictionaries, and it literally says opinion is something that falls short of the truth.
Huh, that's interesting. The dictionary would say that.
They came to a story and said, there's three ways, your side, my side, and the truth. So that's usually the way it is.
Yeah, and you know, Lisa, talking about, you know, good day, bad day, whatever, it's really just God day.
God's day, yes.
Because when you get into the good and the bad, you're getting into the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and you're judging and so on and so forth. But if we just get up knowing that Jesus is Lord, meaning Master, completely in charge of all things, at the close of the day, you can say, I've had another God day.
Yeah.
Put one more O in God, and it means good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Jesus, yeah.
Yeah.
And that really is what it is. It's mixing the carnal with the, you know, this is really a bad day.
27:1 said, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth.
Amen.
That's right.
That's right. That's
just, expect the Lord.
Well, that brings me right back to what the Lord told me this morning, saying how and when and why is just another form of unbelief. I don't understand it, so obviously it can't be. If you say it is, Lord, none of this is wrong. Oh, guess who it is? It's not him.
Yeah.
So asking him these questions, just be.
Yeah, I thought I heard the Lord say to me one time, when are you going to get out of divination? Trying to predict the future, wanting to know the future. Yeah, why don't you just get away from that stuff? Because that's trying to divine what's going to happen tomorrow. And just take it day by day. Don't worry about it. Didn't he counsel the apostles them? Don't take any thought about tomorrow.
Right.
You know?
What you wear, what you say, what you eat.
Yeah. Yes. And men say, well, I'm going to go into this city and I'm going to build a business and I'm going to do that. And he says, no. Say if the Lord's willing, you'll do that.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
But it really is. Every time we want to, well, Lord, what's going to happen? We're wanting to know what the future is. And the Lord's saying, you know, I guess the Lord wants us to know the future. Well, we know our future in a manner of speaking, but it's all good. Praise God.
Do you know the other, I was sharing with Sue, I went on Buddy and we prayed again for have dinner again and stuff. And then I usually come home later, and I don't get to see Tobias. Tobias goes and visits his dad in the nursing home because he's been a power of attorney for him now and everything. And Thursday I kept feeling to come. I wasn't going to go down and went, but I said, I'm not staying long. I'm coming home. So I was home like around 9, and when I came in, I wanted to see Tobias. He was on my heart all that day and the day before. And I wanted to see, because Charles and I talked, and Sherry, and I call Charles my wingman. He goes places with me and everything. And so when I came in, Tobias looks at me and watched, says, boy, you're early. And I said, yeah. So we begin to talk and share. And then I looked at him and I said, I really miss you. I was wanting to talk to you. I haven't seen you in a couple of days, several days and all. And he said, that's something. And then I said, how's your job going? What's going on? Because he's been on this job. He's been under contract for a year and a half.
Yeah.
He said, funny you that you asked, because today was my last day under that contract.
Oh,
and he said, but Mom, I have such a peace. And he was glad we got to share. And he said, because God was showing me that when he closes the door, he opens another door.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I'm on unemployment, and there's a lot of the places have been calling him, and he hasn't really been able to get off to really go and have the interview and what. And he just, I was just looking at God's hand. He looked at me, we were smiling, and he said, and that you came home. I said, I just want to come home. And that was God, you know, putting on my heart, and I've been wanting to see him. And he knew that Tobias' contract was going to end.
Yeah.
And places he was about to go to Michigan again, Mexico.
Yeah.
He didn't have the heart to want to go, and it ended. The work was real slow for 2 weeks, and he's working on these great big furnaces with computerized and all that for the auto industry, and everything he said worked out. And he's off Friday, and they paid him for the day and that, and he's got some vacation time coming off. But I'm just looking at God's direction, you know, just in small things, and how we sat and shared, and he was sharing things that God was speaking to him. We had such beautiful fellowship.
Praise God.
It was beautiful.
Yeah. It's good testimony time.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Yes.
Well, this is what I needed today.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
How we need one another. And what each one has of Christ to share.
Need the Christ within each other.
Beautiful. Yes.
Psalm 66:5 says, come and see. I love that. Right there. And that word come means enter in, to go in, and to bow. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, I'll heal. And then, of course, in John, Jesus said, but you won't come to me that you might have life. And I'm not so sure he's just talking to unbelievers when he's saying that, too. Because I think I shared this about a week ago. I came into a different understanding of what a convert and to be converted means. When you accept Jesus Christ, you are a convert to Christianity. You believe in Jesus Christ. But then there's a conversion period, okay? You're not, like Jesus said to Peter, you know how, what that scripture, he says, when you're converted, then go and strengthen your brother. Mm-hmm. Well, Peter's walking with Jesus. He knows Jesus. He's a convert. He believes in Jesus. Mm-hmm. And Jesus says, when you're converted, when you're really walking with me, when you and I are in agreement, when you're lined up with me, then go strengthen your brothers, okay? Yes. But right now, yeah, you believe in me, but you're not walking with me. Mm-hmm. We're not in agreement together. You don't really know my plans and my purposes, who I really am, why I've really come, you know? And so this here, when it says, come and see the works of God, he is terrible in his doings toward the children of men. So come means to bow down and to go in. And see means to perceive, to have vision, to give attention. We give our attention to everything. Do we give our attention, enough attention to the Lord? Yes. Not meaning any condemnation in that, because I know the lives, myself included, live. But God wants our attention. You know, like my dad and my mom, when they'd correct me, they'd say, will you give me your attention? Of course, if they didn't get it, then they took another route. But we don't want to go that route. And Jesus said, whoever sees me sees him who sent me. And it says, when Jesus shall appear, we will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And he said, come and see. Well, I think, I like to kind of wrap it up at 10 of Oscar, so everyone can fellowship a little bit out. Because I think people like to fellowship out in the hallways a little bit, instead of getting out here at 11, we're rushing into the sanctuary. So, yes, Lonnie? Okay, sorry.
I like the reference there on that word, come and see.
Yeah.
It goes back to Psalms 46:8. It says, come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolation he has made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariots in fire.
Praise the Lord. Do me a favor, look that up this coming week and share just a little bit on that when you come back next Sunday. Well, that was good, though. That was good.
Yeah.
Brenda, you want to close us in prayer there?
Yes, Father, we so thank you, Lord. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for the fellowship of you and one another, Lord. And we ask, Father, in the service that we're going to now, that, Father, you have your way.
Yes.
Give us ears to hear what the Spirit is speaking to Brother Oscar. And even during worship service, Father, may we glorify you
in
and through our lives, Father, for we ask it all. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Amen.